The title to my sermon today is Work to Be Done. Now, you know, a lot of times, I better get some glasses just in case. A lot of times, we've heard that scripture quoted, that you're saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. So the title to my sermon almost sounds like I'm going against that, but I'm really not. And the title to my sermon is Work to Be Done. And Father, in the name of Jesus right now, I just come before you, and I ask you, Father, that this word would go forth and it would just minister to hearts. And I believe you gave me this word, so your word never returns void. I thank you for the people that are here. I ask you to bless them abundantly. Give them ears to hear what your Spirit would speak to them. Minister to each heart here today, that they can go away encouraged and built up and strengthened in you, knowing that you're in control of all things and that they can begin to rest in you, Father. And Father, I just ask you that people that hear this message out on the internet, that Father, that they would be blessed abundantly and that you would just build up the body of Christ, Father, because that's what we're all about, is seeing your body built up, that it grows into a mature man in the earth, that creation will be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. Yes. We give you the praise, we give you the glory, we give you the honor, because you alone are worthy of it all. And we just thank you for what you're going to do. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. Like I say, the title to the sermon today is Works to Be Done. And this is out of the Passion Translation of the Bible, and it's Philippians 4, 6 through 8. And listen to this word here, and see if this doesn't speak to you a little bit. Don't be pulled in different directions. You ever feel like you're pulled in different directions? Sometimes in life you feel like somebody's pulling you this way and somebody's pulling you that way, and you know, you feel like you're being ripped apart sometimes. But he's saying here, don't be pulled in different directions or worry about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day. You know, when you saturate something, you can't put any more in it. You ever got a sponge and you stick it down in a bucket of water and you pull it up out of there? It's saturated. You know, it's totally full of water. And it'll be dripping, and if you squeeze it, a lot of water will come out, you know. But when he's saying there, be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. I like that. Be grateful. You know, expect something to happen. You know, I used to like what Oral Roberts used to say. He years ago, one of the things that he'd always say is expect a miracle. Expect a miracle. You know, a lot of times if you don't expect something, you know what you're going to get? Nothing. You know, if you worked all week at a job and Friday Friday rolled around and the paymaster came around and you weren't expecting to get a check and he didn't give you a check, you'd go out there pretty disappointed. But I'm telling you what, you expect things in God. You know, hope. The word hope in Scripture means to anticipate, usually with pleasure. And you know, you can anticipate with pleasure the things that God's going to do. When you come in here on Sunday morning, expect something to happen. Expect something to happen. And it's going to happen. And I'm going to pause because I just thought, today is Denise's birthday, and we need to sing happy birthday to Denise today. I'm trying to remember, folks. I'm terrible with remembering these things. So let's sing happy birthday. And God don't care that we paused here. He'll like it. Because you know what? He loves his kids. He loves them all. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Denise. Happy birthday to you. Anybody else have a birthday? Yeah, Mark's birthday was yesterday, but he's not here, so we'll forego Mark today. But keep them in your prayers because they have to quarantine for 5 days because the doctor said that Jack didn't test positive for COVID, but being that he was having headaches for a few days and wasn't feeling good, they said sometimes if you have COVID, it doesn't show up, you know, right away. So hopefully he doesn't have it. And, you know, Mark is thinking, oh, I got to miss five more days in the house. But anyway, he went back home this morning, so he didn't come in. So he didn't come in contact with anybody. So we just trust the Lord that everybody will be just fine. But anyway, let's read that scripture again. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell Him every detail of your life. When God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answer known to you through Jesus Christ. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on Him, on all of this authentic and real and honorable and admirable and beautiful and respectful and pure and holy and merciful and kind, and fasten your thoughts on the every glorious work of God, praising Him always. Now, you know, like Margaret said, we were in a restaurant and, you know, we know some of these late, you know, some of these various servers in restaurants because we've went into them for years. You know, we do eat out more than we should. And that's part of why I get that little belly there. But anyway, you know, she was telling us about she'd been estranged from her sister and her brother for all them years. And you know, expect people when you go places to begin to pour their heart out to you. We didn't ask her about anything or anything like that. She just started telling us all this stuff. And you know, God is going to start using you all everywhere you go more and more and more. And He's going to cause people to begin to tell you things that they won't tell to their family, that they won't tell to their best friend. Because you know what? They don't realize it, but they're going to sense the Spirit of Christ inside of you, that anointing inside of you. And I'm going to tell you what, that anointing can break the yoke in that life. If you'll be obedient and pray. And you know, Brenda's had a lot of things going on. Remember Savannah? I didn't ask for her in prayer. Savannah got incarcerated and she's going to be in there for 7 months. Keep her in your prayer. Savannah has a problem with, you know, drugs. She, I don't know what she did to get in jail, but she's going to be in jail for 7 months. And just pray that God keep His hand of mercy on her and His hand of protection on her. Because any time that you go in jail, you just don't know what's going to happen in there, you know, because there's some pretty bad things can happen in there. But also there's some great things that can happen in there. God could use her to minister in there. And, you know, I was thinking about Clarice Fluitt telling the story about her daughter one time, and she was telling that her daughter had a drug problem, and that wherever she would go different places, that every once in a while her daughter would show up. And she said, I'd just bring her in and love on her for the night, you know, and try to help her a little bit, and then I might not see her for a while again. And she said that, you know, she would always tell her that, whenever she'd talk to her, she'd say, you're blessed of the Lord, and God's got ministry for you. And she'd just tell her all these positive things and keep telling her positive things. Well, she said she got thrown in prison because she did something. I don't know if she stole something or what she did to get drugs. She got thrown into prison. And she said, guess what she's doing in prison? Ministering to the other prisoners. And sometimes we don't even understand when people get in situations and circumstances and we think, my God, why is this happening? We need to sometimes take our hands off and step back and say, God, I trust You in this situation. You know exactly what You're doing here. I don't have to always know what You're doing in every situation, but what I have to do is trust You and believe that You're in control in each situation. And that's exactly what I believe she kept doing with her daughter. And here she said when she was in there, I guess she got off of drugs while she was in there, and here she was ministering to the people that were in jail. And a lot of times you just don't know. And God's word never returns void, especially if it's been spoken into their life at a young age. At the right time, that word will come back up when it's supposed to. But anyway, just remember with Savannah, because I know with Brenda that it breaks her heart at times, because, you know, she loves Savannah like she's her own daughter, you know, and Savannah spent a lot of time. And the Lord's got his hand on Savannah. I know he has. He's given prophecies over her and everything else. And she tells a story about when she was a little kid, you know, telling somebody that Jesus lived in her heart and stuff, you know, without them even asking her. And you know what? Jesus does live in her heart. And remember her little son, Rashid, you know, that God just keep his hand of love and mercy on that young man. He's a sweet little boy. I mean, I don't know if you've probably seen him a couple of times. He's real little and he's as cute as a button. But just remember him in your prayers too, if you think about it. But anyway, let's fasten our thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. You know, in John 6:28-71, it says, through 71, it says, I'm not going to give you all those scriptures because I eliminated some of them. It says, we'll go down a little bit farther, but it's not that many scriptures. It says, then said they unto him, what shall we do? This was the disciples talking to him. What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. And you know, we're all wanting to know what the work of God is concerning us in our lives. But here's what Jesus said. So you want to know what the work of God for you to do is? It's this right here. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Amen. And I'm going to tell you that word for on there in the scripture, in the Greek is spelled I-C-E, but it isn't pronounced ice. It's pronounced ace. And how many of you have ever taken a test and you know that what? You did what to it? You aced it. What does that mean? That means you got it. You had no problem. And I'm going to tell you what. That word there is the word ice, and it means, or ace. And it was translated that way 573 times in Scripture. And it was translated as on only 58 times. So I'm not sure that the translator put the right word there. I think maybe he made a mistake. And the word that should have been replaced there is this, when it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God that you believe into him. Not on him, into him. Whom hath sent me. Now, I want you to know, believing into him is a lot different than believing on him. When you believe into something, guess what? You become that thing that you believed into. And you know, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And, you know, years ago, the Lord dealt with me about, you know, we have to believe that Christ is in us. And that's the mystery that had been hidden from past generations and was now made clear as daylight, it said in some translations. But the balancing point and the full circle of that was that the Lord began to show me that not only did we have to believe that he was in us, but we had to believe that we were in him. And that's part of the into there. Until you start believing that in him you live and move and have your being, like the scripture says, and truly start to believe that, then you're not going to walk in the total peace and the total rest of God. Because yes, you can say, well, Christ in me is the hope of glory. But also, you're in him. And in him you live and move and have your being. And if you're in him and move and live and have your being, then he's always with you. And he's everything that happens around you is happening for a plan. It's happening for a purpose. And you don't always have to know what that is or why it's happening. But what you do have to know is that he's in control. And if you'll trust him, he's totally surrounding you. Everything that comes around you surrounds you. You know, I went and seen a movie the other day. Me and Mark went to the movies and we saw this movie. And I can't remember the name of the movie, but in this movie, this guy is actually in a video game. And he doesn't know he's in a video game, okay? He thinks he's a person, but he's actually in a video game. And this video game keeps repeating itself. And every time that he does something stupid and he gets hit by a car, and you think, well, he's dead. And he pops back up and he just goes on, you know. It was a video game. Somebody pushes him off of a building. He falls off of a building. And before he hits the ground, all this bubble wrap comes around him. And he bounces up and he's okay, you know. But I want you to know that the angel of the Lord encamps about them that fear him. There's nothing can touch your life. There's nothing can happen to you unless God allows it to happen. And even if he allows it to happen, he's right there with you. He's right there taking care of you. He's right there protecting you. You know, I remember years ago, you know, I still have a motorcycle, but I had a motorcycle years ago. And, you know, I was playing softball and we had just won this tournament, or we won our league, and my brother-in-law had asked could he borrow my motorcycle, and he had borrowed it, and he brought it back, and it was in October, you know, when softball was getting over with, and he brought it back, and it was parked it on the street, and it was a cold day, you know, it was kind of cold that day, and I went out to get on my motorcycle to start it, and I was going to drive it down the street and then come back up and put it in the garage. Well, I got out there, and Mark was little, and he says, Dad, can I ride down the street with you? And I said, yeah, and he climbed on the back of it. And I start down the street, and that motorcycle was kind of cold-natured, you know, and I didn't really let it warm up, you know. I just started it, and I thought, well, you know, I'll just put it up. And I started down the street, and I turned around and started to come back up the street. And when I started to come up the street, you know, it bogged like it was going to die, you know, because it wasn't warmed up. Well, I revved it up a little bit and popped the clutch out. Well, it jumped. Well, when it jumped, it scared Mark, and he grabbed me like this and went backwards because he wasn't hanging on to me. And he kind of pulled me, and when he pulled me, the throttle cracked all the way open, and we did a big wheel stand, and I'd been riding a motorcycle for years, but we did a big wheel stand, but I wasn't expecting this to happen. We did a big wheel stand, and it went like this and went a little ways and then fell over and landed on my foot. Well, I got a compound fracture in my ankle, you know. Well, they put a cast on me, but I couldn't have a walking cast. I had to, for 6 weeks, I had to stay off of it, and I couldn't work. Because I worked in a machine shop, and you had to stand in a machine and run a machine. And for 6 weeks, I had to be off work. Well, you know, I was the only source of income back then, and you know, Margaret would occasionally work with her friend Barb, and they would do painting and wallpapering and cleaning and different things like that sometimes. They didn't do it all the time. Well, we had a mutual aid society at work, and on that mutual aid society, you paid in like $20 or whatever it was, or $10 or $20 a month or something like that, and everybody would pool their money, and then when somebody was sick, you know, they would give you $50 or $60 or $70. And back then, that was an okay amount of money. It wasn't a lot, but it would get you through if you were sick for a couple of weeks. Well, here, I called and checked on the mutual aid, and I never did get no money. Well, I come to find out the guy that was doing the books for the mutual aid society had stole the money out of there. He had stole $10,000 out of there, you know. And I had tried to audit his books one time because I was a trustee. And every time I'd try to get his books from him to audit them, like a year or two before that, he would always make some excuse, and I never could get with him. And I went to the president of the Mutual Aid Society, and I told him, I said, Ernie, I said, Joe won't let me look at his books. I said, you know, I'm supposed to audit them. Ernie said, oh, Joe's okay. Don't worry about Joe. Joe, he just don't have time. You know, he's got things going on or something. Well, it ended up where Joe had stole $10,000 out of there. Well, so here I'm laid up, and we don't have no income. And I was pretty young then. I was probably in my 20s. And, we didn't have no money in the bank or nothing. You know, we were like a lot of young married couples. We was living week to week on paychecks, you know, just barely making it. Well, all of a sudden, I was really in a down place right then, really down, you know, spiritually and emotionally and everything, even before that wreck. And I actually had went for a ride on my motorcycle before I let my brother-in-law use it. And I had said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't know how much longer I can keep going on like this, because I was just very discouraged and everything, you know. I hadn't been coming to church or anything like that. I was just kind of, you know, messing up. I was only 20, about 20-something years old. Well, I had that wreck. I got laid up for 6 weeks. And, you know, Brother Eddie came and seen me in the hospital. I didn't call him. The hospital called him. I guess Margaret must have told him that that's where we went to church. Well, Brother Eddie came and seen me in the hospital. And, you know, that 6 weeks that I was laid up, I had a lot of time to just sit and get quiet and still and listen to the Lord and talk to the Lord. And it really got me back into a good place with God. You know what I mean? So here I'm laid up, and you know, and I have to say, I didn't really worry about our finances or anything. But all of a sudden, Margaret started getting all kinds of work with this lady, Barb. And I mean, they worked all the time, and I still owed money on my motorcycle, and I was thinking, well, you know, I don't know what I'm gonna do about that. And we contacted them, and they said, well, you got insurance on that motorcycle; the payment's automatically made. And every turn around, there was something where God was just showing me, and I didn't even remember taking out insurance, you know, if something would happen that would be paid. But here I had insurance on it, and here this was happening. She started getting money. Our landlady and them came down. We were renting this house that eventually we ended up buying. We were renting this house, and they had come down to raise our rent. And our rent, we were renting a 5-room house, and our rent back then was only like $150 a month, which was very, very reasonable for renting a house. You know, so when they saw me laid up on the couch, they felt sorry for me, and they never did ever raise my rent. Never. I mean, until we bought the house. Her husband died, and we ended up buying the house. But, you know, even in situations like that, God had it all in control. You know, because here they came, they were going to raise our rent. Well, I wouldn't have even been able to pay the rent, probably, you know, with being laid up. But every time, on every turn, God just met us, you know, and he met us. And, you know, I like what that scripture, and I know what that scripture means, where David said, once I was young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. And I'm going to tell you, when you have problems or when you have financial situations or situations where you're being pressed in this or pressed in that, go to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. Don't go out and tell everybody about it first off. A lot of times Christian people, they hurt themselves from seeing God move miraculously for them because they're so quick to run and say, get this person to help them or that person to help them or something like that. You know, I could tell you many a story where God just met us, you know, in a lot of situations and where he did miraculous things. But you know what? Just realize that the works of God, he wants you to believe into him. Not just in him, but into him. And when you come into something, just like this morning, when we were in the Sunday school class, after Sunday school was over with, I could have stood out in the hall and said, well, I'm at church. And I could still be standing out there and saying, well, I'm at church. Until I came through them doors, I did not really come into the church, the assembly, where we were going to worship and praise the Lord. And I had to come into something. And you know, we have to come into that perfect knowledge of that in Him we live and move and have our being. And we don't have to worry about what's going on around us. We don't have to worry about sicknesses, about any of those things, if we'll just trust Him. And even if you get sick, I mean, you know, that COVID thing is a bad thing. And it makes people pretty daggone sick. Well, when I was going to have my knee replaced, you know, I had to go have a COVID test. And I've told you guys this before, but I had to go have the COVID test because it was really rampant back then, and they were pretty bad. So I get up at the hospital 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm all ready to go have that surgery. Lady comes out and she says, we can't do the surgery on you. I said, why not? You tested positive for COVID. I said, but I'm not sick. They said, well, I said, can't you do the test again? I said, I'm not sick. You know, they said, well, no, we can't do that. And I really didn't think I had it, you know, because I didn't run a fever. I didn't cough. I wasn't sick. I wasn't throwing up. I wasn't nothing. Well, Margaret ended up having it, you know, and she got sick. But she got through that really well. And I mean, Margaret has a lung disorder. And, you know, and God kept His hand on her even in the midst of that, because that could have killed her, you know. Her lung doctor told her one time, if you get a cold, you call me immediately and come up here and let me check you out, because a cold could kill you, you know, with this lung thing she's got. But you know what? God kept her through the middle of all that. And the doctor even called to the house a couple times to make sure she was okay. She got a great lung doctor. And, you know, God has got you. In Him you live and move and have your being. Not only is it Christ in you, but you're in Him too. Start believing that you're in Him. Start believing that everywhere you go, you're so in Him that if there's a need there, you're going to be sensitive and know it. And you're going to be able to minister to people, even like that lady at the restaurant last night. We didn't ask her how she was doing or anything. She started telling us about that. And you know what? We told her, well, we'll keep you in prayer, you know. Next verse down here says, verse 30, it says, and they said therefore unto him, what signs showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? Quit looking for signs. Quit looking for signs. Scripture says these signs and wonders will follow them that believe in my name. They'll do some of these things. Don't look for the signs. Acknowledge Jesus Christ and let Him take care of if there's going to be any signs, there's going to be anything. He's the one that'll take care of all that. You know, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. And it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now the word manna, I'm going to tell you what the word manna means. It literally means whatness or what is it. And in the Greek, that's in the Hebrew, in the Greek it means man. So the true manna was Jesus Christ. And if you take those two definitions, it would be, what is man? What is man? That's the true manna. Okay, what is man? Psalms 8, 4 through 6 says, what is man? That thou art mindful of him. Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. For thou hast made him lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet. Tremendous scripture. Not only is that in Psalms in the Old Testament, in Hebrews 2, 6 through 10 it says, "But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels, thou didst crown him with glory and with honor, and didst set him over all the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him." That's talking about man now. "But what do we see? We see Jesus Christ, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste of death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." Back to our scripture in John. He said, "Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which came down from heaven and gives life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me," there's the word on again, "shall never thirst." And it's not on, it shouldn't be translated on, it should be he that believeth into me, shall never thirst. It's that word ace, into me. "But I said unto you, you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that shall come to me will I in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all," how many is all? "All which he hath given me," now he gave him everything, "all which he hath given me," all the people of the world, everything, "I should lose nothing, but should raise him again in the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, everyone which seeth the Son and believeth into him," there's that word on again, "into him, may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day." I want you to know, folks, there's a scripture in Revelations that says, "Every eye shall behold him." And there's another scripture that says, "And when we see him as he is, what'll happen? We'll be just like him." I'm just telling you the truth. Now, this is what the Word declares. This is not Oscar's opinion. I'm just reading you the Word here. And in Isaiah 60, 17 through 19, I'll be done here in a few minutes. I love this scripture. In Isaiah 60, you read the whole chapter. It's a beautiful chapter. But I'm going to start with verse 17. It says, "For brass," that's judgment in Scripture. When you see brass, the word brass, it's talking about judgment. For judgment or brass, I will bring gold." In other words, he's going to replace the judgment, which is harsh, with gold, the divine nature, the incorruptible nature of the Word of God. "And for iron, I will bring silver." Iron talks about strength. Silver talks about redemption. "For your strength," which his strength is made perfect in what? Your weakness. For what you think to be your strength, he's going to bring silver. His redemptive power. The forgiveness of what he did on Calvary. It's not going to depend on your strength. It's going to depend on his love, his mercy, his forgiveness. "And for wood," brass, wood is corruptible. You know, if you have a nice piece of wood furniture and it's really nice, and you don't wax it or do something to protect the wood, eventually that wood will rot and it'll fall apart and it'll break and it'll get holes in it and everything else. But for wood, he's going to bring brass. In other words, he's going to judge the corruptible nature. He's going to take care of it. He's going to bring judgment on that corruptible nature. And what he's going to do is he's going to replace it with that divine nature that he was talking about. And for stone is a natural thing, iron. And you say, well, why is he bringing iron back? You know how you get iron? You get what they call iron ore, rock. And what do you do? What do you do to get the iron out of it? You put it in the fire. And let me tell you what, when God's got you in the fire and he's trying to bring some real strength out in your life, it ain't fun in the fire. But I'm going to tell you what, in the fire is a good place. It's a good place to be. You know, remember what took place in Daniel when they were told to bow down and to worship that idol, and they didn't do it. And Nebuchadnezzar had made a decree that anybody that didn't bow down to that would be cast into the fiery furnace. And, you know, it's kind of neat when you look at that story, because not only was it the fiery furnace, but they heated it 7 times hotter than normal. What's 7? It's a number for a perfect number. It's a number for God. So they heated the furnace, and sometimes when it feels like that furnace in your life is getting so hot and you're thinking, oh my God, can it get any worse? Look out, because it can. And it probably will for a little while. But the beauty of it is they had the opportunity to deny the Lord there. And they told Nebuchadnezzar, they said, whether or not God will deliver us, we don't know. And you don't always know exactly what he's going to do in a situation. But they said, one thing we do know, we won't bow down and worship your idol. And they bound them up and threw them into the furnace. And the furnace was so hot that the big strong guards that took them up there, they were burned alive. They lost their life. And then Nebuchadnezzar went and looked in the furnace, and what did he see? They had thrown 3 men in there, Azariah, Hananiah, and Mishael, we know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those were Babylonian names that were given to them. But their real names was way better than them Babylonian names. And anyway, he looked in there and he said, we threw in 3, but I see 4 in there. And that 4th one is like unto the Son of God. Boy, I tell you what, the Son of God's always right there with you. In him you live and move and have your being. Not only is he in you, he's surrounding you. His presence is everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's more all-powerful. There's nothing can touch your life unless he allows it to touch your life. Praise God. All right, Jesus told him, he said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. You think God's going to lose some people? You think he is? I don't think he is, not according to this word. I should lose nothing, but should raise him up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth into him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up in the last day. Then, like I told you, in Isaiah 60:17-19, it says, for brass I will bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stone iron. I will also make thy officers peace. And that word for officers, that's not really a real good translation of that word in the original. I will make thy visitation peace. That's what should be there, visitation. And it says, and thy extractors righteousness. And the thing for extractors, the definition for that, and I'm going to read this to you out of the Amplified Bible. It says, righteousness as your taskmaster. Now, there's none righteous other than the righteousness that God imparts in you, or He inputs His righteousness into you. And that righteousness comes from Him. It's not you. Scripture says there's none good but God. And I got news for you. You can say, well, brother so-and-so is a real righteous guy. Well, no, he's not. God's a real righteous guy in brother so-and-so, not brother so-and-so. Of himself he is nothing. And John 6:28 says, and then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe into him who he has sent. And I'm almost done here. And it says, Romans 1:17, for herein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. It is written, the just shall live by faith. Galatians 3:11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now, you say, well, Brother Oscar, what are we talking about faith? I'm going to give you the definition God gave me for faith, believing in the truth or the truthfulness of God. Now, if he says that he's not going to lose anything, do you believe him? Because if you don't, you're calling him a liar. Scripture says, let God be true and every man be what? A liar. Okay. Back to Isaiah 60, it says, violence shall no more be heard in the land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. Praise God. You know, we was talking about back in Sunday school about two-leaved gates. Remember that, when we was talking about that? And I told you the two-leaved gates. There's another scripture, and I told you the Lord dealt with me about that one time. You know what those two-leaved gates are? You want me to tell you where they're at? Right here. Two-leaved gates. Lift up your head, you gates. Lift up your head, you everlasting doors. And who'll come in? The King of Glory, mighty in battle. And he even repeats it. Be ye lifted up, you gates, and you have your everlasting doors. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open unto me, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. But I want you to know, these are the two-leaved gates. And those two-leaved gates, let's go ahead and read the rest of that. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, nor wasting nor destruction within thy borders. Thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. What's the fruit of your lips? Praise. It says, the sun shall no more of thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but God shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Any glory that you have, it's not because of you, it's because of him in you. Isaiah 26:3-4, and this is pretty much almost the last what I'm going to share with you. It says, and you will guard him and keep him in perfect peace. This is how the Amplified Bible. Keep him in perfect peace and constant peace, whose mind is both its inclination and its character stayed on you. Because he commits himself to you, he leans on you, hopes confidently in you, trust in the Lord, commit yourself to him and lean on him and hope confidently in him forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock, the rock of ages. Now I'm going to read you that scripture out of the Passion Bible, and out of verse 26, and I'm going to read it starting with verse 1 in that. It says, a day is coming when a song will be sung in the land of Judah. Judah means praise, in the land of praise. A song's going to be sung. A city is a stronghold for us, the Lord's salvation like inner and outer walls. What did we just tell you the walls were? They were salvation. No, nothing can break through those walls. You know, he said, I hold you in the palm of my hand, and no man can snatch you from the palm of my hand. You don't have to worry about losing your salvation. No person, nobody can snatch you from the hand of the Lord. The Lord's salvation is like the inner and the outer walls. Make it secure. Verse 2, open the gates and let a righteousness, faith-fulfilled people enter in. Verse 3, perfect, absolute peace surrounds those whose imaginations are consumed with you. They confidently trust you. Yes, they trust in the Lord Yahweh forever and ever. Praise God. I want you to know, folks, that in the Old Testament, when Adam and Eve sinned, they put cherubims at the entrance to the garden with flaming swords. And I've shared this a few times, and so some of you might will have heard this and some of you might not. But they put cherubims there to keep man from entering back in at that point. And the word cherubim means imaginary figure. Imaginary figure. That's what it literally means. What keeps you from entering in to the very presence of God? Your imagination. Because a lot of times if you did something that you feel like you fell short of the Lord, or you said a cuss word, or you said something bad about somebody, or you got mad and you did something that you shouldn't have done, then what happens a lot of times? Sunday morning will roll around, it's time to go to church, and you'll say, oh, I don't know if I want to go to church today. maybe I shouldn't go to church today. You know, maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe I shouldn't do that. You know, that's because that imagination is telling you you can't come into the presence of God. But I want you to know, when Jesus died on Calvary, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. It was torn in half. Now, who tore it if it was torn from the top down to the bottom? Now, if man was going to tear it, he'd had to grab it at the bottom and pulled it to rip it open. But guess who tore it? God tore it. And what did that signify? It signified that the way into the Holy of Holies, the very Shekinah glory, the very presence of God, was now open. And it tells you that that tearing of the veil was Christ's flesh. That was the tearing of the true veil. And you know what? You can enter in boldly by the grace of God. You can enter into the presence of God anytime, anywhere, under any circumstances. And you know what? He's right there with you. It's not like he's a God that's afar off. You can enter in to that Holy of Holies. And what was in there in the Ark of Holy of Holies? The Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant had two cherubim on the top of it, and their wings were facing in. And the lid of the Ark of the Covenant was called the mercy seat. And God would appear between the two cherubim above the mercy seat. And really what he was saying is, come sit in the love seat with me. I love Kathy. Kathy told a story one time about sitting in a chair, and I love that story you told, Kathy, that testimony about sitting in a chair, and you felt like the Lord was telling you, you come and sit on my lap and sit in a chair with me. I believe that's the way you put it, you know. But, you know, that's what the mercy seat's all about. You can go sit with God anytime. You don't have to go in there feeling guilty. You don't have to go in there feeling like you're unworthy to go in there. You're worthy because of what Jesus done. You're his son, you're his daughter. He loves you with an everlasting love. He don't look at you and say, oh, you dirty sinner, you know. You failed yesterday, you said something you shouldn't, or you did something you shouldn't. He looks at you and says, oh, that's my beloved son, that's my beloved daughter. Who, you know, he wants to take you in his arms and hug you and kiss you. You know, it's funny because, you know, last week, those on Facebook, sometimes they put old photos and stuff. And Sammy just had a birthday too last week, and he was 13, you know, and I think we sang happy birthday to him when he was here. He was 13, and that picture that got put on Facebook was a picture of Sammy at my house, and I was sitting in the rocking chair, and I was, what I tell Margaret, resting my eyes. I was sleeping. She always says, "Are you sleeping?" I'm like, "No, I was just resting my eyes," you know. And Sammy was sitting on my lap and kind of laying over to the side. He was resting his eyes too. But you know, I love that picture because you know what? That's the way it is with God. He wants you to just curl up and rest. He wants you to curl up and quit worrying about everything that's going on in the world today, everything that's going on out there that would just beat you down and wear you down. And know He's got you. He's got you. You can sit in His lap and you can just relax and go right off into a restful sleep. There remains a rest to the children of God. And we're to labor to enter into that rest. And you know, I did a word study on that one time, and I've shared it years ago. But that word for labor there is a word, it's a word in the Greek that's spadozo. Spadozo it is. And you know, if you watched the Olympics or anything, and in times past you'd watch those swimmers, and they wore swimming trunks that were called Speedos, and they were real, didn't cover very much, real small, real super tight, stuff like that. They were called Speedos, and you know why? Because that meant they could enter into the water quickly, and they could travel through the water quickly and travel back to win the race. And when it says labor to enter into His rest, He's saying do it quickly. That's what He's telling you. He's not telling you that to go out and work and try real hard to get in rest. He's saying do it quickly. And you know how you do it quickly? By just acknowledging Him in whatever situation is going on. Even if it's a situation where in the natural you have no reason to be resting, but rest in Him. His strength is made perfect in your weakness. And He's got you. He's got you, and He's there with you all the time, no matter what's happening. Well, praise God. That's all I had to share with you today. But I want you to know He does have a work for you to do. And that work that He has for you to do, Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe into Him whom He has sent." And that was Jesus Christ. Praise God. Okay, if you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. That's all I had to share with you today. And, you know, I just want you to know, I know things are real hectic out there in the world, and sometimes you think, "Oh my God, what else is going to happen?" You know, don't let that stuff beat you down. Trust in the Lord. Pray for the people that you see in these bad situations. You know, because a lot of times your prayers will be the thing that will keep that person safe or that will even turn things around. And God knows exactly what He's doing. And we don't always understand, you know, when Pharaoh was coming against the children of Israel when they were trying to come back into the promised land, you know, it says in Romans, I think it's either the 9th or 10th chapter, where it says, "For this very cause He raised up Pharaoh, that His glory might be seen in the earth." And what was that? He was going to show people that there was no power on earth that could keep His people from leaving that Egypt and traveling to the promised land. There was no power, natural power on earth that could stop them. And buddy, He showed it mightily. He parted the Red Sea and they walked over on dry land when the Egyptians tried to follow Him, because they didn't do it by faith, by trusting God. The sea swallowed them up. So just know that He's got you. It's okay. I don't care what's going on out there. Just trust in the Lord and rest in Him. Do it speedily. When you find yourself getting anxious, just step back and say, Lord, You are my peace. You know, I love that song, He is my peace. He's broken down every wall. He is my peace. You know, I love that song. We're going to have to start going back and singing some of them old songs because they're really good songs sometimes. And we're going to teach them to you, Frankie. We will. We'll teach them to you. I'm going to see if I can get Linda to come sometime maybe and play some music and sing them to you. I'll have to find some time when you're available and she's available, and we'll pay her for her to come and maybe teach you some of them songs, because then you could get the tune of them, you know, how they are, because she knew all them songs by heart and everything. Huh? Yeah, they're real simple, you know. Yeah. Okay, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for Your words, for truly they are spirit and life. I ask You to just minister to Your people. Just keep them in that, He will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee. Keep our minds just concentrating on You, and let us just relax and chill out, like I said last week. Relax and chill out. And Father, we'll give You all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. For You alone only are worthy of all praise. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.